Our scripture reading for this morning's lesson is taken from 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. 2 Peter 3:18, "But grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Once again, good morning. We're honored with your presence. We have a good number out as we assemble with no other purpose than to study God in truth and in spirit, doing our best to live faithful to His Word. I want to go ahead and invite you back tonight at 5:30, being the fourth Sunday of the month. We will worship together in song. So we will get to sing praises to God, and we will actually talk about singing praises to God here in just a few minutes in our lesson. And I do want to say that this is the end, if you will, the entire month of November. This will be our third installment. We have been talking about spiritual growth. And we started out discussing, seems like a long time ago, back at the beginning of the month, how spiritual growth is a choice. It's a choice command of God, but we can choose to grow, or we can choose to not grow. In our previous lesson, we talked about the goals for spiritual growth. We talked about behavioral goals, how we want to be more like the character of Christ, functional goals, and the way we try to attain those goals. And also we talked about goals that we as a church or we as a congregation have, trying to be faithful. And we see to meet our goals, therefore, we need to have good habits. And so this morning, as we kind of end our discussion on this should not be the end of your spiritual growth, but as we end our discussion on spiritual growth, I want us to talk about forming habits. Because habits are stepping stones which help us ensure that we eventually meet our goals. Habits are things that are done frequently, weekly, daily, etc., that show, that slowly produce a certain effect. For instance, if I have a goal on January 1st that I want to be in Nashville at 2 o'clock in the morning and run a marathon, that would be my goal. I would need to start doing, actually I probably should have already started, but I would need to start forming some habits that would get me to doing that. And I would need to get up early in the morning and run and watch what I'm eating and buy the proper attire. You don't just show up and run and hope you're going to cross the finish line, which most people don't. You have to set goals. And to set goals, you need to have habits. This morning, I want us to answer the simple question, what are some good habits that will help us meet our spiritual goals? What are some good habits that either we have in our lives and need to be strengthened, or we don't have but we need to add, that will help us meet our spiritual goals? So first and foremost this morning, let's talk about some behavioral habits. What about ourselves, our behavior? And I think first and foremost would be Bible reading. Wouldn't you agree? How can we know what God says in His Word if we don't open the Word of God? You know, the Word of God is crucial to growing spiritually. With me in 2 Peter, let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. The Word of God is crucial to growing spiritually. 2 Peter 2 and 2, "As newborn babes, desire ye the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby." We see, we know as infants, they start out on milk and they eventually progress to meat. So here Peter is talking about how as Christians you start out on the milk of the Word, but you need to progress onward to the meat. If you stay in the milk, Paul discusses that in depth, how it is a problem. You need to move on to the more meatier things. In fact, the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16 that we may boldly approach the throne of grace. Now that's not arrogantly, that's confidently. And how can we confidently approach God? Well, it helps to know who we're approaching, would it not? You can read all about the character of God throughout His inspired Word, because He has chosen what to reveal about Himself, and so we ought to read that. But let's also look in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. No, sorry, verse 6. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Here Paul tells those at Philippi, "Be careful for nothing, But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So we see that we need to be reading the Word of God, and it is crucial to us growing as a Christian. But not only reading the Word of God, but we also need to be praying, and that's where we're getting to in Philippians 4. Through prayer and supplication, and go back to Hebrews 4, we may boldly approach the throne of God. How do we do that? Once we know who God is, we approach Him through prayer. You don't drive to heaven and knock on the front door and say, "I'd like to speak to God, please." No. You may boldly approach God in prayer. So how active is your prayer life? Well, Romans chapter 12 and verse 12. Let's go there because we need to be pretty active. I'm not going to lie. And even I almost dare say the ones that are the most active could probably do it just a little more, it seems. Romans chapter 12 and verse 12. I love Romans 12. I call it the Christian's to-do list because there's a whole lot of little fragments, three or four words in a phrase, in a clause, that are good for us as Christians. So look in verse 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Paul says we need to continually be in prayer. Now that doesn't mean pray 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, because that is physically impossible. Paul's getting at here also 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He says we need to always be praying. Don't ever stop praying to God. Who's a good example? Well, let's go back to the Old Testament and Psalm 55. Let's look at the man after God's own heart. His name would be David. Psalm 55 and verse 17. Are you like David? He says, "Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." These are three different times in the life, in the day of David. He says in the morning and at night and also at the middle part of the day, he says, "You can find me praying to God." But not just him in the Old Testament. Let's look at Daniel. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. In fact, the prayer life of Daniel got him in trouble. And in Daniel chapter 6, we see the famed story of Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel 6 and verse 10, "Now when Daniel knew the writing was signed." What's the writing? These people that did not like Daniel because he was kind of put in charge, and there were people with him and around him that did not like him. So they made an ordinance that basically you couldn't pray to anybody but the king, because they knew that he prayed three times every day facing Jerusalem. Got to remember, he's in exile. He's not back home. So every day he knew where Jerusalem was, and he would get down and pray facing that. So verse 10, "When Daniel knew the writing was signed, he went into his house, his windows were open, and the chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime." So this is something that even the enemies of Daniel knew, that three times a day, at least, but three times a day he was praying to God. So just as we must listen to God daily through His Word, daily Bible reading, how can you grow if you don't read? We must also talk to Him daily if we want to grow. So have you developed the habit of reading on a regular basis and talking to God on a regular basis? Talking to myself as well. I can't answer for you. I can only answer for me. But where are you at? How often do you spend time with God? But what's another behavioral habit? Well, we could talk about singing. We could talk about singing. Praising God in song is also conducive to spiritual growth. You know, David, not only did he pray every day, David sang every day. He mentions that in Psalm 104. He mentions it in Psalm 119. David was a man that prayed all the time, and he sang praises to God all the time as well. What is the purpose of us singing songs? is to teach and admonish one another, is it not? Colossians 3 and verse 16, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Also couple that with Ephesians 5 and verse 19, speaking with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Not a mechanical instrument, but we're praising God. We teach others, but you know what? We teach ourselves as well. When we sing these songs, and some of them, now they're all good, don't get me wrong, but some I just think are more beautiful than others. Some paint a better picture, if you will, than others. And you can learn so much about them. There are songs for when you're happy, and there are songs for when you're sad. Go back and reread the book of Psalms, and you'll see a whole bunch of songs that were meant to be performed publicly. For joyous times, for instance, we see a New Testament example, though. James 5 and verse 13 says that when we are happy, what should we be doing? Singing? Let's go now to the book of Acts, though. Acts chapter 16 and verse 25. The heroes of the story, if you will, Paul and Silas, have come into the Roman colony of Philippi, which was often called, quote-unquote, Little Rome, because it was almost an exact duplicate, not to mention layout, but just the government of Rome. And so they come into Philippi, and they find this woman who is possessed with a demon, and so they cast the demon out. But there's a problem. The people that owned the woman were using her abilities to profit off of it. They were making money off of this woman. So they had Paul and Silas thrown in jail. And James says, when we're happy, we need to sing. What about when we are sad? What about when we are in trial and being persecuted? Acts 16 and 25, Paul and Silas are in prison. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. They're in the middle of something that most people would just say, I'm done, I quit, whatever, I can't deal with this. They're literally in the inside, the innermost part of a prison, bound in stocks, and they find themselves praying to God and singing. So why shouldn't we be singing as well? Now, yes, that talks about in the church, and we'll get to that in a minute, but you can just sing to yourself. You know, probably most of the songs, all the words by heart. I catch myself singing them all the time and not even realizing it. But I'm learning things. So as we develop daily Bible reading and daily prayer, why don't we develop the habit of singing praises to God if we want to grow? One more behavioral habit is assembling. It's assembling, meeting together with fellow Christians. And that's so important. Hebrews chapter 10. Verses 24 and 25, the Hebrew writer says, let us consider one another, provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. Brethren, attending worship is so important because it means stimulating one another to love and to good works, and we also exhort one another as we're serving Christ. We need to be attending, and when we attend, other good things happen. So therefore, Christians should make it a strong habit of attending worship. Attending as often as possible. Not just worship, Bible study, gospel meetings, vacation Bible schools, maybe a devotional here or there, an additional Bible class throughout the week if you could find one. And they're all over this area. I don't know if you realize it or not how blessed we are to live in the part of the world that we live in. Especially during the summer months, you could probably go to church 7 days a week if you wanted to, with meetings in the area and Bible classes. I think there are 20 congregations of the Lord's Church here in Cannon County. There's 43 in Warren County. I lost count in Rutherford and Coffin. There's so many options to attend. The more we attend, watch this, the stronger the habit becomes. The less we attend, the weaker. Christians who make it a habit to skip the assembly, they struggle in their efforts to grow. No Christian has become stronger, watch this, by neglecting the assembly. No Christian has grown stronger by saying, I'm going to stay home tonight. I'd rather not get back out. It doesn't happen that way. We have to be present. The formation of all this builds to a full, complete picture. And so these are our behavioral goals. Now let's move on to our second point, that of functional goals. What are some functional goals for our spiritual growth? Well, let's go back to assembling, because that's the first one. We've already mentioned it, but I think we should come back. Because earlier I was mentioning it in connection with personal growth. But if we are to reach our functional goals, we need to meet with the church as well. Because we'll become familiar with the needs of other members and the identities of other members. I'd say we know each other quite well here. But some of the larger churches, people don't know who's there and who's not there. We need to be there so we can help. We need to learn what everybody's role is or what their role can be. Some people can do this. Some people can't do that. Romans chapter 12, as we discussed a few weeks ago, but it's a great tie-in reference how every person has a different job in the body. We also need to assemble to see what our given opportunity is to be of service. What is our opportunity? What is mine? What is yours? It's all different. Not everybody can do the same thing. In fact, I'm glad not everybody can do the same thing, because then it'd be really boring if everybody did the same thing. No, we all have a different role to serve in the service of the Lord. Brethren, the habit of going to church is essential if we want to be of use to the Lord's church. Otherwise, we cannot be counted on for much service. How can you serve if you're not present in the assembly? So what about participating in the work of the church? Well, how do you participate in the work of the church? Well, you could either teach class or attend class. You could lead singing or you could sing. Maybe you could usher, watch the door, count attendance, wait on the Lord's Supper table. Now some of these are men only. We know that to be true. But we can all sing. We can all read along. We can all pray along when somebody leads us in a public prayer. What about the habit of providing for other services of the church? What about greeting visitors? Ministering to those who are sick? It's not just the preacher's job to go visit people who are sick, although it's the preacher's job just as much as anybody else's. It's a work of the church. What about encouraging those that are weak, spiritually speaking? Or taking the gospel to the lost? What about something as simple as providing for maintenance of the building? Keeping the grounds up. People don't think of that as a work of the church, but it is. So that's something that must happen for the Lord's church to be successful where she's been planted. What about functional goals to be useful for the master? We all have a different role. What is yours? What is your function in the worship of the Lord? Find it and do it to the best of your ability. Now let's quickly talk about some congregational habits. Since we've talked about assembling, what about us as a church, as a congregation? What are some roles that are available? Well, it depends on who's a member and who's not a member. The Lord has specified, and Paul talks to Timothy about it a lot in 1 Timothy. Who can and who can't serve in the worship of the Lord? And I don't say this to berate anybody or anyone. This is what God has said, and God has chosen for males that have been baptized into Christ to be leading in the worship service. And so they are to read publicly and pray publicly and wait on the Lord's Supper table and preach, obviously. But there are other roles that can be done. A congregation can encourage spiritual growth by simply just encouraging people to come and then participating in worship. So what are some opportunities? Well, let's go back to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. We started there. Let's go back there. 2 Timothy 2 and 2. Paul talking to Timothy. Verse 1, "Thou therefore, my son," son in the faith, not physical son, but son in the faith, "be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Watch this. "And the things that you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. What does Paul tell Timothy, his son in the faith? He says the gospel shouldn't die with you. He says the things that you have seen me do among many other faithful witnesses, you teach those same things to other faithful men so they can what? Teach it to others. This is a chain that needs to keep going on and on. How do we do that today? Well, we provide training classes. We go to seminars so we can develop various abilities. We can make sure that those who are trained are using their ability. I know a place of congregations where they have asked somebody to maybe speak at different times because they thought they might be better suited for that, or have a different role in the worship because they thought they might be better suited for that. We need to figure out what we can do and do it. Just think about this. When Paul says, teach others also, where would you be if the person who shared the gospel with you, whether it was a preacher or a family member or a friend, where would you be if the person that shared the gospel with them didn't tell them? Think about it. You probably wouldn't be here, right? Because somebody along the chain had stopped doing their job. Well, you don't want somebody else to say, well, I never heard the gospel because nobody told me. Ooh, we don't want that to happen. We need to teach the word to others. That's what we do as a congregation. We teach from the pulpit. We teach in Bible classes. We teach through our songs. But the gospel shouldn't die with us. In fact, we should help spread the gospel. What about, could we encourage participation in the worship service? Of course we can. The congregation should be in the habit of encouraging spiritual growth. We need to grow as individuals and as Christians. And one good example is to let maybe the inexperienced gain experience. Maybe those that have always wanted to teach a class, let them teach a class here or there and see if they like it. Or those that have always wanted to speak, let them speak on a Sunday night or a Wednesday night or Sunday morning, whatever the case may be. Give them the opportunity. Brethren, a congregation should have the habit of encouraging participation. What if somebody's always wanted to lead a song? Well, boy, wouldn't you know, singing night just happens to be tonight. It's a great time. That's where I led my first song, was at a singing night. I'm sure many people did as well. It's a great time to practice. Nobody's going to laugh at you. You all need experience. Whether you're nervous, doesn't matter, awkward, doesn't matter. If you want to participate in the worship, all you have to do is say, I want to. And a role will be found. Or a role will be filled. We need to realize that we have goals as individuals, and we have goals as a congregation, but you know what? We need to grow. And to meet those goals, we need to set habits. If you get nothing else from this lesson, I want you to remember that goals are obtained whenever good habits are established. Whatever the goal is, if you want to obtain it, you have to set good habits. The creation of good habits set the stage for our spiritual growth. And as spiritual habits are developed, spiritual growth will increase. It's a steady increase, if you will. But wholesome, well-rounded spiritual growth occurs when an individual develops both their behavioral and their functional habits that will help them reach their goals. Now, what do I end this by saying? That my goals are not your goals. And your goals are not my goals. So I can't tell you. I can tell you what my goals are. But I'm not going to, because I don't want you to try to reach something that maybe you've already done or maybe untangled. I don't know. But if you have a goal, you should do your utmost highest to reach that goal. I want us to close out with our lesson text for this series of lessons. It's 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. 2 Peter 3:18, Peter starts out this epistle by saying, but add your faith, virtue, and virtue, knowledge. And it keeps going all down this list in chapter 1, starting in verse 5. And he talks about problems that the church might have. He talks about growing spiritually for yourself. How does Peter end his letter? Let's go back to verse 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Well, that's a gloom and doom way to end the epistle, wouldn't it be? Thank goodness there's verse 18. I think we've mentioned it. I'll say it again. Every time you see the word but in a verse that starts a verse in the Bible, that is a change in the story. So verse 17 talks about you be careful because you could fall away. But here's your command. Grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be both glory now and forever. Amen. He says, so instead of being lost, being destroyed, how do we fix that? We grow in the grace and the knowledge. What does that mean? Well, first off, we obey the gospel. We hear it preached in truth, simplicity, and sincerity. We believe it in sincerity. We repent of our sins, make that public confession for a group such as this, that I believe Jesus Christ is in fact the Son of God. I'm not afraid. Who knows it? And then upon that confession, we're baptized. Go in that water grave, come out a new creature alive in Christ. After that, we start growing spiritually. We start out on the milk, as we talked in the beginning of our lesson. We start out on the milk, and then we eventually progress to the meat. And we do our best to remain faithful. And then Revelation 2 and verse 10 says that we receive that crown of life if we're faithful to the end. Where are you in life? And I don't mean you're sitting in a pew in the church house. Where are you? Are you a Christian? If not, why not do that this morning? If you are you growing spiritually? And are you developing the kind of habits that will help you grow spiritually? If you're not, what's stopping you? It's not me. What's stopping you? If sin is into your life, why not come back this very morning and repent of those sins? If we can help you in any way at all, please let it be known while we stand and while we sing.